During much of the Bruce Arians head coaching era for the Cardinals, the team was picking in the late first round.
The Arizona Cardinals select Deion Buchanan, DJ Humphreys,
Robert Kivdichi.
By 2018, the Cardinals were picking much earlier on day one of the draft, and they needed a future franchise QB.
The Oakland Raiders have traded the 10th pick to the Arizona Cardinals. With the 10th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Josh Rosen, quarterback, UCLA.
For the first time in the Super Bowl era, the Cardinals have the number one overall pick at the NFL Draft. Will they choose an elite pass rusher? Will they get an unstoppable defensive tackle? Or will they make an unprecedented move and draft a potential franchise quarterback for the second year in a row?
The Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Arizona Cardinals franchise history will be made today in Nashville. You're about to join the NFL Draft Extravaganza on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
On 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station special presentation.
Presented by Four Peaks.
The NFL Draft Extravaganza. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Okay. Yeah, baby. I realize there's a ton of people that put a ton of time into that thing. And this is when I get called into the office right at 10 o'clock for how dare I say this.
Here we go.
But do you mean you took a 90-second open to start the Doug and Wolf show today, and it's sponsored by Four Peaks, and there's no beer in the Oxygen Community Studio?
Yeah.
Who made that executive decision? If it's sponsored by Four Peaks, why don't I get any 8th Street Ale?
Here,
bad move, somebody.
It is, ladies and gentlemen, the beginning of the end. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley and Doug Franz, the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, broadcasting, of course, on this momentous Thursday. It ends tonight. The speculation about the number one pick overall, the speculation about Kyler Murray, the speculation about Josh Rosen, the speculation, it all comes a screeching halt.
I don't think it ends about Josh Rosen.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah.
So what do you think? You think they're going to draft Kyler Murray and keep Josh Rosen? Is that what you're saying right now, gut feeling?
You have been selling this for a long time, and I admit it's hard to see how you'd be wrong. It makes a ton of sense that the Patriots, the Roger Goodell walks up and says, there's been a trade at number 32, and with the 32nd pick, the Arizona Cardinals select, and then we find out that Josh Rosen was traded.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, I admit, I don't like the game of chicken. You call me a wuss. Are you allowed to say wuss on the radio?
Of course.
I don't like the game of chicken of drafting Kyler Murray while you still have Josh Rosen.
Wussy?
But I do think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to draft Kyler Murray, and they're going to have Josh Rosen on the roster, and then they're just going to assume somebody's going to not like the quarterback on the board when they need a quarterback, and they'll trade with the Cardinals right there.
I just have this gut feeling right now, really. I would love to see the Arizona Cardinals trade out, ladies and gentlemen, trade out of that number one spot and get some picks, a boatload of picks, and stick with Josh Rosen. I just have this feeling that's not going to be the case. It's not going to be the case, and that the pick is going to be Kyler Murray. That's just a gut feeling that I have, and yet, when I think of that, I think of Josh Rosen. We barely knew you, Josh Rosen. If, in fact, that scenario happens, which I have no idea as to whether or not it's going to, we barely knew you. Are you kidding me? He couldn't have had a worse situation than he did last year, his rookie year. You stop and think about the situation Josh Rosen was in last year. Sam Bradford was going to be the starter. Remember? And, oh, my goodness. The disaster that was. Sam Bradford was going to be the starter. And then he had an offensive coordinator that was a disaster who got fired. And then he had a first-time offensive coordinator that replaced him. And then he had an offensive line that was a veritable disaster. And then it just went on and on and on. The worst situation. It dawned on me last night. The worst situation a rookie quarterback could possibly have other than getting hurt at the end of the year. That was the one thing that did not happen to Josh Rosen. It happened to him in 2018.
You know, I don't, before Calais Campbell became a Jacksonville Jaguar, I don't apologize for not being a Jaguars expert, you know, but you could understand if you are a perennial four-win team on another coast, I'm not going to pay attention. I'm too busy. But if I'm a national guy, I think it's my job to pay attention to all 32 teams and know them well.
Yeah.
And with everything that you just said about Josh Rosen, we can't say this enough. At least I can't. I was very sure coming out of UCLA, he was a jerk, he was not tough, and he was very accurate.
I love this story.
And I'm very sure at the end of 2018,
Rosen was a jerk.
He's not a jerk. He's extremely tough, and I'm not sure about his accuracy.
You know what?
That's where it stands with him. And the reason why I told you about Calais is the nation still doesn't know Josh Rosen. Because they didn't pay attention, they didn't change their opinion. This is Rex Ryan on ESPN just yesterday.
Josh Rosen could have been the number one player taken 2 years in a row because if you just judge him on athleticism, toughness, all those things, arm talent, everything, he's got it all except one thing, and that's entitlement. I see this guy, that's the kind of guy he is. Leadership is critical at that position, and that's what this guy lacks.
Oh, my goodness.
Rex Ryan knows more about football than
I do,
but there's no way he has any clue who Josh Rosen is to say that. And here's what's even worse. He's not wrong if you ask the general consensus of other people that aren't around the Cardinals.
No doubt about it, yes. No doubt about it, but it's interesting you bring that up. What do we know about Josh Rosen right now, Basinonians? What do we know? He played in 13 games last year. That we know. He endured a beating. We know he's tough, and we also know he's durable. His body is durable. There's a difference. Tough is about inside, ladies and gentlemen. How do you handle adversity when it's intellectual, when it's an emotional, when it's physical?
Like
how
a mental toughness.
How do you handle adversity? Tough is settled in the soul, ladies and gentlemen. Durable is your body. That's mama and papa. He endured a beating last year. He's been nothing but professional through all of this Kyler Murray beatdown that he's taken. That's what we know about Josh Rosen. And that's unsettling to me.
You're going to give up on that? Quote-unquote
give up. I'm not going to give up on that.
Yeah, come on. What are they going to do? I think they're going to draft Kyler Murray. What do I want them to do? Anything but draft Kyler Murray. I want to see what Josh can do, but I get it. I get it. Let's go, Bear.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Let's break it, Benny.
You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories.
Don't be soft.
Here's Doug Franz and Ron
right down Wolfley.
Vince, how's Nashville?
Number five.
Okay, fine. We'll get right to it. Number five is your quick rundown on the playoffs. It's over for the Rockets. They beat Utah, so they advance. Golden State is not able to close it out at home. They lose to the Clippers 129-121. So now Golden State has to go back to L.A. to win Game 6, or the Clippers are actually able to force a Game 7 if Golden State doesn't get it done in L.A.
You got to love it. Kevin Durant pours in 45 and they lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Lou Williams, baby.
Lou Williams and Harrell, both with 20-point games for Harrell, 34-3-point games for Williams. Why does it matter? It was off the bench. And then the other playoff thing you need to know, there's nothing better, and now it's happened twice. Two nights ago, the Sharks end up winning in overtime in a Game 7. Last night, Carolina knocks off, on the road, the defending Stanley Cup champions in double overtime in a Game 7.
Taste it.
Taste it is right.
Number four.
I love hockey playoffs. Number four this morning, wow. N'Keal Harry, don't say it. Don't say it.
From the workout I had, and I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
N'Keal Harry confidently says on the Birds and Gambo show he's going to be taken at 33 if he's still on the board. Why is that terrible? Because I think NFL teams will believe him. And if they want him, they'll move up ahead of the Cardinals.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
No, N'Keal!
N'Keal, what are you doing?
Tell everybody.
What actually, are you doing?
The Cardinals didn't like me at all. I think I bombed that interview. I'm really frustrated by it because I wanted to stay.
I'm going to be around till the third.
No, Nikhil.
Number three.
Number three this morning is the latest NFL draft rumors, and a lot of them are division related. The question is, do the Cardinals take Kyler? And if not, what kind of action do the 49ers get at pick number two? The other thing in the division is the news that a lot of teams have supposedly called the Rams. Granted, they've called just about everybody at the end of the first round to see who is interested in allowing a second round team to trade back into the end of the first round to get that coveted fifth year option.
You know what's incredible about this, Basinonians? Everybody has talked to everybody. Just know that.
Number two.
Are you kidding? 9:30 this morning. They're going for their second sweep in one road trip.
And that ball will fly on out of here. A three-run homer for Marte. His second home run of the ball game. And the lead goes to 11-2 right down the left field line into the bleachers. It's a four RBI night for Marte.
Three homers in the game, two by Marte, and another seventh inning RBI from Christian Walker.
The Diamondbacks are 14-11. They're tied for second place in the division with the Padres. They're a half game back of the Dodgers. Incredible, baby.
And remember, April was supposed to be the most difficult month on the schedule.
Studs.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, it's finally less than 11 hours away. The 2019 NFL Draft Extravaganza. The number one question in the country, Kyler or Rosen? Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The NFL Draft Extravaganza.
NFL Draft coverage presented by Four Peaks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Quote, I'm sticking with my 99.9%. What's called Final Mel Mock has just been released.
Goodness, really?
Mel Kiper Jr. says Murray, Oklahoma quarterback, Arizona Cardinals, and he's sticking with his 99.9%. There has just been too much smoke the past 2 months. Murray could be a star for new coach Cliff Kingsbury. And there you go.
And so it ends, Basinonians. The 2019 NFL draft begins tonight, and there will be blood, metaphorically speaking, won't there? Someone is going to be right, and someone is going to be wrong. And when I think of being right...
Are you talking about mock drafts, or are you talking about the GMs making the picks?
I'm talking about everything.
Okay.
When I'm talking about right and wrong, and when you talk about right and wrong, think of Pete Prisco.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Pete said the Cardinals are not drafting Kyler Murray.
Mel Kiper says 99.9% sure they are.
99.9% says Mel Kiper. It's just incredible, right? It really is the place that we find ourselves this morning. But I know this much. I think there's going to be a huge number tonight for the National Football League because the ratings, I don't think, could be any higher. I think this is going to be off the charts.
You might be right for the entire draft. I'm pretty confident you won't be right for one moment because you remember so far the highest rated moment of any draft in history. Cowboys on the clock, Johnny Manziel on the board. Okay, that was when people were losing their minds to tune in to see, oh my gosh, is Jerry Jones really going to do it? And is he going to go after him? But for an entire draft, you're probably right, especially with the amount of coverage. It's really interesting. ABC is televising the draft tonight as the college portion. So they've got Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit like it's a college broadcast. Then you've got the NFL Network team without Mike Mayock, and then you've got the regular ESPN team with Trey Wingo, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper Jr., and Lewis Riddick. So you've got three different outlets. You combine those numbers, I'm with you, that those three networks will be a dominant force today.
Yeah, absolutely. Paulie, what do you think about that? They're going to blow the lid off this thing, especially in the first round, ratings-wise?
That would be a yes. I mean, it's on ABC, right? You're putting it on network. It's going to be on ESPN. It's on NFL Network. The stat was I saw yesterday in 1980 when this thing first started, when it was in the ballroom in the New York Sheraton, and the NFL literally, Pete Rozelle literally thought ESPN was crazy when they came up and said, hey, geez, we'd like to televise your NFL draft. And Pete Rozelle's like, what? Are you kidding me? But ESPN was so hungry for programming that they went and televised it. They had one production truck. There'll be seven different production trucks tonight for this television event. And that's what it is, an event.
You're so right to nail that, because the 1980, they actually used the old ESPN logo mic flag. And the reason why that's important is, like, the NFL's like, sure, fine, you can just advertise yourself in the middle of our draft. And then you could tell the whole draft how Pete Rozelle thought it was stupid that he was on TV. It was the lowest budget looking television event you've ever seen. And now three different networks fight just to be the first to say,
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
1 year starter, but he made the most of it. He did everything Baker Mayfield did. He even accounted for more touchdowns than Baker Mayfield did his final year. Completion percentage right up at 70%.
Okay, I'm tired of the completion percentage of college quarterbacks. Because the little pocket pass thing is driving me nuts that it counts. Invented probably by Dana Holgerson.
Well, first of all the horizontal passing that's going on as well, right?
Yes.
Can you say wide receiver screen to begin with?
Yeah. And it drives quarterbacks nuts. A lot of times, like, that guy's in a system where he throws 10 bubble screens a game.
Yes.
Of course his completion percentage is going to be through the roof. If you really talk to some of the quarterbacks off the record, they'll give you the honest truth on that.
So, speaking of the record right now, guys, where are you? Where are you this morning? Where do you stand, Basinonians? That's what I want to know right now. We're going to have a listeners-only meeting, as a matter of fact, here on the Doug Wolf Show. We're going to want your opinion on this. For the record, Paulie, where do you stand this morning?
The future of football.
Oh, no, Wolf. Why did you set that up?
Is coming to the AZ. I just said it down the hallway with Jim Sharp. I had to educate him up over there on this whole deal that Big Red's going to be giving up his jersey at about 5:15 tonight. The number one is now going to belong to Kyler Murray. He'll be the number one overall pick. That'll be the number on his jersey. And the only real question, and it is a question right now, what's going to happen to Josh Rosen? And based on a conversation I had last night,
Paulie,
the Cardinals are fully prepared to hang on to Josh Rosen if they don't get their price. And I think that price is most definitely a first-round pick.
Now, you sound like you're actually reporting, though you're not, Kyler Murray is going to, in order for it to matter where Rosen goes, it's got to be Kyler Murray at one, right? Because if it's anybody else, we know that Rosen is staying.
It's a prediction.
Okay.
Based on some conversations I've had.
Wow.
I love it. I do fully expect Kyler. Now, the X factor, obviously, is whether somebody loses their mind. Yeah, the Raiders worked him out. The Dolphins worked out Kyler Murray. Not that many teams worked out Kyler Murray on their own. But those two, and the Dolphins are a sleeper. And when the Cardinals get on the clock or they get near the top of the draft, the X factor, if someone loses their mind and makes them an offer they can't refuse.
Yeah, you know, everyone thinks this is going to be some unmitigated disaster if, in fact, you draft Kyler Murray and then you have Josh Rosen on your roster. I really don't think that's the case. If you're being offered a third-round pick, stop and think about this. If you're being offered a third-round pick, what's more valuable? Seeing if Josh Rosen could actually master this offense and be really, really good in it? Is that more valuable than maybe Josh Rosen actually exploding in this offense? I think it's worth actually seeing if, in fact, Josh Rosen will take to this offense instead of giving up a third-round pick,
taking
a third-round pick for Josh Rosen.
I talked to a couple of players, and they said, what's wrong with competition? There's competition in my room. I mean, if you're a receiver or a linebacker or a D lineman, you got to compete in your room. Why not competition in the quarterback room?
I think a lot of people think like that, that are strong enough to handle it. I don't think, and we'll feel free to get mad here. I don't think the average football player is strong enough mentally to do that. And the reason why I say that is because what happens when we're talking about any other position, it's about competition, competition, competition.
Yeah.
When it's about quarterback, it's about who am I going to follow? And even though I don't think there's any problem between Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen competing, I think at that age, you're going to have a lot of players that are going to be in there thinking, A, why didn't you get somebody that can help me now more than having a quarterback competition? Number two, I think you get a fractionalized locker room following one guy or the other. So So as much as it shouldn't be that way, you should just be, well, hey, do your job. I do think a lot of guys sit around and go, oh, well, you get back to me when you figured out who our leader is.
I'm not going to disagree with that. You do need the right combatants. You do need the right competitors with the right mindset. For example, let history show that Matt Leinart was not mentally equipped to compete with Kurt Warner. Mm-hmm. And his confidence was destroyed in a lot of ways. And everyone on that team knew that Kurt Warner should be the starting quarterback when they had that so-called competition up in NAU.
We have blitz packages for Baltimore.
When Leinart was listed as a starter on the depth chart, but everybody knew Kurt Warner was the guy.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, you're right about that, Paulie. It's going to be really interesting. But right now, I would hold on to Josh Rosen instead of giving him up for a late second-round pick or a third-round pick. You've got to be kidding me. He's more valuable to me to see if he actually, who knows, maybe he blows you away. Maybe he actually takes to this offense better than Kyler Murray does. And maybe you're trading Kyler Murray next year. Maybe it's something completely, I have no idea, but I'm not going to give him up for a third-round pick.
Coming up next, should you be a team player before you have a team? N'Keal Harry said something yesterday that might work out really well for him. Not for all of us. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The NFL Draft Extravaganza.
NFL Draft coverage presented by Four Peaks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
April 8th, beginning of this month, head coach of Arizona State. And granted, every head coach at a college will tell you how good their player is. But when he said this about N'Keal Harry, and we looked it up and he was spot on.
I tell him this, and I don't like making, you got kind of similarities, you know, and that's what they do with the draft. And even draft, people always say, why are they height, weight, speed, and all that? Well, because they basically look at guys at that position that have played the position before that have been successful in the league.
Right.
So that's why they take the numbers, okay? And that's fine. And so if you look at his numbers, his height, weight, speed, some of his traits, and they've asked me, I said, who reminds you of Coach? I said, I kind of stay away from that. And I said, but I'll tell you who reminds me of. He's Dez Bryant.
Wow.
He has the same body type. They're about the same size. If you go look it up.
We did look it up. Dez Bryant was 1/100th of a second faster in the 40, and they had basically the same height, weight, and Dez had a slightly larger hand size in combine time and all the information. They were almost exactly the same, and yet there's zero entitlement, and we've never heard any problems at all with N'Keal Harry, while Dez Bryant has always been a me guy, and now we hear that, so you're jacked up. You're excited about everything N'Keal Harry. And then yesterday on Burns and Gambo, from a radio standpoint, great conversation. From a Cardinals fan standpoint, no, don't do it, don't say it, don't let us know anything like this.
I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, I can see it.
He talks about the fact that he's very sure that there's no way he's getting past number 33.
From the workout I had, and I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
Oh, no! N'Keal, stay quiet!
I honestly don't think it's quite as innocuous as we all think it is right there, right? Because first of all, everyone I know, especially in N'Keal Harry, he's probably a very, very confident dude. Would you say that's a true statement
there?
That's a true statement. He's very, very confident. He thinks there's no way that he's going to slide past 33. Do you have any idea how many confident young men in former NFL drafts that have felt the exact same way? The same way. So, number one, I don't think it has any credence. Number two, I will say this. N'Keal Harry's just trying to improve his draft status as well.
Oh, yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
But let's get selfish here. I don't care whether he wants a little more money to be drafted at 26, 27. I want to make sure that he stays at home so we have hashtag Harry, Larry, and Kirk. And if he's going to be guaranteeing out there, I'm pretty confident I'm going at 33. The Cardinals really liked me. That's a sure tail sign that someone's trading up in front of the Cardinals today. Because remember, if there's any trades late in the first round today, that's getting in front of the Cardinals at 33.
Yeah, but don't you think N'Keal Harry knows that? And he's hoping that happens because he wants to be drafted in the first round.
N'Keal, I love you. I've been on the sideline with you. I care about your family after tonight. Let's get you in a Cardinals uniform first.
Well,
make money.
If his agenda and intent is to get drafted in the first round, yeah, that helps.
That does help.
Because
I agree.
That keeps him from going to the second round because someone will move up to try and get in front of the Cardinals. Yes, I agree with that. However, there's another cut from that interview where he was asked about teams he thinks he has a good feeling about, and he named like five other teams.
Yes.
He named the Raiders and the Colts and the Ravens and some other teams. So the Cardinals aren't the only team telling N'Keal, we like you a lot, and you're not getting past our pick. That happens
the
all the time.
The teams I feel most confident about in the first round would definitely be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm very confident about the Oakland Raiders, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts. And the Green Bay Packers at 30. I feel pretty confident about those landing spots.
I really like that
one. Threw in the number.
Like that. That makes a lot of sense.
For example, if the Cardinals trade with the Patriots, let's just say, Josh Rosen is traded to the Patriots.
Ding, ding, ding.
And now you have pick number 32. You would use that, perhaps, on a N'Keal Harry. By the way, on the comp, I totally agree, body type, Dez Bryant. But to your point, Doug, Dez Bryant needed a babysitter.
Yeah.
Remember the first year or two, Jerry Jones had to invest in a babysitter and basically a chaperone for Dez Bryant. Who made the Anquan Boldin comparison?
Fitz. Fitz said that about somebody in the organization that actually compared him to Anquan Boldin.
If you're giving me a Dez Bryant body type with an Anquan Boldin mentality.
Oh, my goodness, Paul.
And the hands. I mean, some of the adjustments he made to the ball and caught the ball in traffic this year for ASU.
Yes.
It was stunning, his ability to adjust to the ball and make some of those one-handed grabs. That's Anquan Boldin.
No, I covet N'Keal Harry, ladies and gentlemen, at number 33. I do. Absolutely would love to see the Arizona Cardinals get N'Keal Harry at number 33. Not because of the Harry and Larry thing that Doug Lease likes to proffer. Not because of that.
Hashtag
just because
Harry.
I really do believe this right now. You know what you need? You need good receivers. You don't need a guy who runs a 4-3. You don't, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, now, does having a guy that runs a 4-3, does that actually help you? There's no doubt about it, right? There's no doubt about it. If, in fact, Kevin White could contribute and run the ball and just stretch the secondary, are you kidding me? There's no doubt you take a guy who's running a 4-3, but what you need is a good receiver. N'Keal Harry is going to have a 12, 13, 14-year career. I believe that. Very similar to an Anquan Boldin.
This is what Paul was referring to on Burns and Gambo.
Well, I love the young man. I heard he had a fantastic workout on Saturday. The Cardinals worked him out, and he looked explosive. I heard somebody in the building say they reminded him a lot of Anquan Boldin with the way how strong he is to the catch and the way he's able to run routes and his physical presence that he brings. And not to mention, you know, he's been a consummate professional in terms of the way he's conducted himself.
You guys know better than me, but with the way Larry feels about Anquan, I don't think he's repeating that unless he endorses that message.
Hey, Larry has the ultimate respect for Q. That is high praise indeed. And if you're physical like that and he has the ability to be that physical with his body type, and you're punishing defensive backs, that's what Anquan Boldin used to do.
It was also, Paulie, so interesting in that interview that we're talking about. What do you think you surprised the Arizona Cardinals with in that workout? And N'Keal Harry said, coming out of my breaks, right at the top of his stem, actually running a route and coming out of that break as quickly. It's so important that you're quick out of the top of that stem, right? And if, in fact, that's what he did, and if, in fact, that is a true statement, I think that's even different from Anquan. Because Anquan wasn't nearly as explosive as a N'Keal Harry. If, in fact, N'Keal Harry did what he said.
Is it a valid question to wonder whether N'Keal Harry is a Cliff Kingsbury type receiver for his offense? Is there a type of receiver for this spread type offense? And is N'Keal Harry that guy? Because he's the bigger, more physical receiver Is that what Cliff Kingsbury is looking for when he's going to spread the field?
Well, for the most part, you know, you got to remember the air raid, and the concepts of the air raid, of course, is to get the ball out quickly, right? A lot of quick routes, a lot of slant routes, a lot of quick smash route concepts where you've got a wide receiver going up three steps and then coming straight down and you're clearing it out. You've got a lot of controlled passing, a lot of horizontal passing that is going on, and then you take shots. That's the change up right there. You lull the secondary to sleep with all these guys in these short attacking pass and route combinations, and then boom, before you know it, you're taking shots down the field, double moves.
I can also tell you, Paul, I know for a fact he's 100% the type of receiver for that offense. The catch is, how many do you need? You know what I mean? You've got fits. Christian Kirk's a different receiver, but it's almost like you want different body types doing different things, and then sometimes you, like Wolf is mentioning, you confuse everybody by doing, okay, now we're going to send Fitz deep, even though we only do that once every 3 weeks or something.
By the way, the last player out of ASU drafted by the Cardinals, Pat Tillman, 1998.
It's been that long.
Think about that. I had no idea. 1998, Pat Tillman, 7th round, 226 overall with a supplemental pick, the last time the Cardinals drafted a player out of ASU.
I'm glad they finally got Terrell Suggs coming home. As soon as I hear that stat.
Yeah.
Join Burns and Gambo along with Wolf and Max Starks today from the Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe for our Arizona Sports Draft Extravaganza. The party kicks off at 2 o'clock and we'll take you through the entire first round of the draft. Enjoy and keep listening because you never know if the Cardinals try to trade back into the first round. Enjoy food and drink specials courtesy of Four Peaks all night long along with your chance to win Arizona Cardinals tickets plus autographed Cardinals gear. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com in case there are any details that aren't already on the buzz. What is our Kyler correspondent hearing around Oklahoma? We'll give you the latest next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Sammy.
It's the NFL Draft Extravaganza.
Presented by Four Peaks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
It is the standard question we ask every time, as we have spent thousands of dollars on our own Kyler correspondent. For some strange reason, Sam Mays receives none of it.
Yeah.
He is of the show Triple M Ranch on 107.7 The Franchise in OKC. He just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Sam, as always, good morning, our best to the family. Secondly, can you see Kyler Murray right now? Can you see him right now?
I cannot see Kyler Murray right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing he's probably resting somewhere, getting ready to make a whole bunch of money tonight.
Okay.
Sammy, what about this buzz yesterday, right, where he was supposed to be somewhere, a charitable event, and he was the only guy that did not show, says the National Football League. Can you enlighten us on this? Do you know anything about this?
I don't know a ton about it. I'll be honest with you, I'm not necessarily surprised. And that's not necessarily a knock on him as much as there's just a lot going on. I think he's being pulled in a bunch of different directions. And like I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I don't know that this is a guy that really loves this type of atmosphere. You know, the one thing that we knew about Mayfield was when the bright lights were on, whether he was on the field or off, Baker is who he is. He's just a showman in every way and just maximizes every opportunity he has in front of the media, every opportunity he has in front of any sort of a fan base. He's just that dude. He's like the perfect guy to be a franchise quarterback or somebody that you want to really represent the brand of your franchise. Kyler Murray, to me, probably that's the part that I don't necessarily know about him, if he's ever going to be that guy. But, you know, as somebody that's the first pick in the draft, most likely the first pick in the draft, I think that he probably needs to do the things that the NFL needs him to do for sure. But I'm not really overly surprised that you didn't see him at that event.
Can you lead by example from the quarterback position? That's always a phrase that, you know how it's meant. It means you're a pro, you go about your business, but you're not really a guy that everybody follows everything you say, and you don't say a lot. Is that described Kyler Murray?
I think it does. I know that Kyler Murray is going to give you everything on the field. That's what I know. I know that he is a competitor in every way, and when you watch this last season, games that really stick out to me as far as his individual performances and taking the reins, that Army game, they needed him because Army was kicking the crap out of that football team, and he, at the end of the game, you saw him decide, well, I've got to go be great, and he was, and he won the game for his football team. The first Texas loss, even though they lost the game in that last quarter, Kyler Murray was great. Like, not good, I mean great. And his teammates really didn't necessarily play as well as we thought they would in that game. And Texas played pretty darn good to get that W. He's an all-in type of guy, and I think if you're on the football field with him, he's going to inspire you by the way that he competes, the way that he plays. I think if you look at the semifinal game also, if for anybody out there that questions his toughness, he absolutely took a beating in that game and kept getting his butt off that ground and going to play as hard as he could for four quarters of football. He is a competitor, and I think he can lead by example at the quarterback spot. Now, look, some people are different. Some people want that rah-rah guy. Some people appreciate somebody who's more vocal in the huddle. I get it. I didn't necessarily need that. I just needed to know that as I'm busting my tail and putting my body on the line, that the quarterback, if it's third and four, he's going to scramble. He's going to go get five, whether he gets hit or not. I need to know that you're there with me and you don't think you're better than me at that quarterback spot. Kyler Murray doesn't think he's better than anybody on that football field. I think he's a true football player, and I think he will be just fine as far as leading by example.
Sammy, where have you been on this whole thing? I mean, have you been the Arizona Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray number one overall? And where are you right now? Where are you this morning?
Yeah, look, I said it in November that he was going to be the first pick in the draft. I thought it was a perfect scenario for Arizona to get themselves back in the conversation by bringing in a guy that could be a generational type guy, somebody who has a ceiling that maybe no quarterback in the last 20 years have had. That's how good Kyler Murray potentially could be for the Cardinals. At the same time, you know, as I sit here today, if Arizona can play it safe here if somebody offers them the king's ransom. And I don't know it would necessarily be a bad idea for Arizona to trade out of there because they need bodies. They just need a ton of bodies. And if you're telling me you're going to end up with three first-round picks in this year's draft with the wealth of talent that is there,
right,
guys that you would say are 80% sure or 90% sure are going to be impact players in this league, especially on the defensive end, I wouldn't blame Arizona one bit for trading out of the first pick. I really wouldn't. So, but I think that, like I said, I told you guys several times, the Cleveland Browns have showed us how this thing works. You know, you can go get a great defensive player in a heartbeat, but it doesn't necessarily change the culture of your team. You go bring in a great quarterback, and all of a sudden you're winning games, and things kind of fall together for you. So either way, I don't think Arizona – the only way Arizona can screw this thing up, in my opinion, is if they draft somebody else at number one.
Oh, good. I want him to draft Quentin Williams. So it's me versus Sam Mays. Sam Mays is our official Kyler correspondent of 107.7 The Franchise in OKC, and he knows the game. He played ball at Oklahoma State. When you look at the draft, and I'm with you, with the amount of picks that you could hopefully get, even if you don't get the king's ransom of trading down. So I'm going to make you the general manager because this is something Wolf's been talking about a lot. Where do you think the remorse would come? Because there's three elements of remorse here. And that is Rosen gets traded and lights it up for somebody else.
It's Rosen remorse.
You don't draft Kyler Murray and Kyler Murray lights it up for someone else. Or even worse, you don't take Kyler Murray and somebody trades with your division rival and the 49ers get the king's ransom and you have to worry about Kyler Murray. Which one of those things, if you're going for a negative reason, which one of those do you think is the worst, Sam?
Oh, probably not drafting him and watching him lighting it up somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the worst. Because, like, that, you know, the thing is, GM's job, who the hell wants to be a GM, right? Like, you're going to get fired for something one day. That's just the reality. Somebody is going to fire you because they feel like the decision that you made is not good enough. I would rather get fired shooting my shot on a kid that shows the kind of potential that he does than get fired for playing it safe and not going with him. Like, I think I'd love Quentin Williams. I think he's an excellent football player. There is no doubt. The reality is I played against a bunch of great defensive tackles in my career. You need two. You just do. Like, the reason that Aaron Donald was so good last year is because Aaron Donald's a very good football player. There's no question. But Ndamukong Suh is a bone breaker. And Ndamukong Suh is somebody that you have to double team or he's going to hurt the player that you're playing against. Aaron Donald is fortunate enough to be able to play a wide three technique or play a four-eye position and be an athlete against a guard that's not as athletic as he is. In my opinion, to draft Q Williams, you got to have a guy next to him that you feel like can really be that impact player and also give him a little bit of freedom in that position. You know, I think if you trade down, say with the Raiders, you get that fourth pick in their next two. I think a guy like the kid out of Houston, Ed Oliver would be just as I think he's just as talented as Q Williams. Doesn't have the film against the SEC, but the kid shows tremendous promise and clearly a tremendous athlete when you look at the numbers he put up as far as his combine, his pro day is concerned. So, I think that, like I said, Arizona, the only way they could screw this up is if they drafted Q. And with the very first pick, I think they get themselves a good player, but not a guy that can have just a groundbreaking impact by himself in the next couple of years. Like, it's going to take a little help defensively.
You know what, Sammy? Thank you so much for your
good
time,
talk.
Man. I'm so sorry I couldn't come on yesterday, dude. Really apologize.
No, it's okay. No worries. No worries. Yeah. We had one of your guys on that was
good.
Mariota.
Vince.
He was fantastic yesterday. He's actually there in Nashville and did a great job. And so where are you guys at right now? Nashville?
We're in our Oxygen Community Studios, which is which is North Phoenix.
Nice, very nice. So they just thought that Wolf couldn't handle.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, Sammy.
In that scene, right?
The barbecue.
That's right, man.
Yeah. Take care of his heart,
dude. You're the man, dude.
Have a good one, guys.
You too. There's Sam Mays of Triple M Ranch on 107.7, the franchise in Oklahoma City, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Our Kyler correspondent, thanks to Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, we're going to shock Ron Wolfley. It's time for Fact or Fiction.
No.
We get to know the NFL draft prospects on a deeper level. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.